Today in the EU, China's Xi meets Macron and von der Leyen to mend bilateral relations. The Chinese President Xi Jinping is meeting with Emmanuel Macron and Ursula von der Leyen in Paris today, but what will the three leaders discuss about, and what does each side trying to gain from these talks? Hello and welcome. I am Evi Chiori and this is Today in the EU. To understand better what's on the line, we talked with Thomas Müller-Nielsen, Euractiv's economy reporter. Tom, what should we understand regarding this meeting? What is at stake?
Well, I think it's useful in this context to, first of all, take a brief step back to understand the broader geopolitical environment in which this meeting is taking place. Now, obviously, relations between China and Europe are very complicated. They have a very long history. Obviously, Europe itself is a very diverse place. And at the risk of simplifying things too much, what I thought was one nice way of kind of characterizing what is at stake here are two quotes. Mm-hmm. One from the American Commerce Secretary, a woman called Gina Raimondo, and the other from a senior EU official who, for quite silly reasons, we can't name. but I think this nicely characterizes what really is at stake here. So in 2021, Gina Raimondo said, "America is most effective when we work with our allies."
We have to work with our European allies to deny China the most advanced technology so that they can't catch up in critical areas like semiconductors.
So that's the American position, mm-hmm. saying we want to slow down China's rate of innovation, slow down their rate of development, and we want to work with Europe in order to achieve this. She said this in 2021.
And now, what has changed now?
So earlier this year, Raimondo said again,
"Cannot allow China to have access for their military advancement to our most sophisticated technology. And so, yes, we will do whatever it takes to protect our people, including expanding our controls."
So that basically is the American position. We want to slow down China's rate of innovation, and we want to work with Europe in order to achieve this. Now, Catherine Tai, who is the trade representative, so not the commerce secretary, but the trade representative, she was in Brussels fairly recently. Mm-hmm. And I was able to ask her about Gina Raimondo's comments. And I said, is it official US policy to, number one, slow down China's rate of innovation, their rate of development, and number two, to work with Europe in order to achieve this? And Tai's response was quite revealing. She said, "I can't talk for Gina Raimondo. What was interesting was that she didn't deny it." Mm-hmm. That's particularly interesting. I mean, the question is quite straightforward. Is America trying to slow down China's rate of innovation? And she didn't say no.
So it's a
maybe. That's revealing. So that's the American position. Mm-hmm. If you contrast that with a statement from a senior EU official
that we cannot name, as we already mentioned.
This official was talking about this Critical Materials Act, which is basically a piece of legislation which aims to diversify Europe's supply of critical materials, as the Act suggests. Mm-hmm. And it's widely interpreted as being directed at China because Europe is heavily dependent on China for all sorts of critical materials that are used to produce batteries and so on and so forth. Now, it was interesting. So this official said that this Critical Materials Act, I think it is very important to note that this Critical Materials Act is not an antagonizing China question. We will continue to buy a lot of materials from China, and we will be very happy that China continues its economic development by selling materials to us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the European position, Basically. We want to diversify away from China. We want to de-risk, as we've spoken about on a previous podcast, but we don't want to stop trading with China. And also, we want China to develop, mm-hmm. right? That's the European position.
Okay? Which is kind of different from the US position.
It is very different from the US position.
Okay, now, despite all this, Tom, what has been happening regarding the relations between the EU and China?
The relationship between Europe and China has, I would say, significantly worsened over the last few months. Yeah. So you may have read it in the newspapers. There have been all sorts of anti-subsidy probes that have been launched by the Commission.
Right. But why is that?
So Europe is very concerned about China's overproduction or overcapacity or oversupply, whatever you want to call it, of certain particularly green technologies, so wind turbines, electric vehicles, and solar panels. And it's in recent months, the Commission has launched investigations into electric vehicles. That was the first one announced by von der Leyen in September. More recently, there have been investigations into solar panels and wind turbines. 2 weeks ago, the European Commission announced that it was also launching an investigation into the unfair discrimination against European medical device suppliers in China. So basically, when European companies are competing for public contracts in China, they're being discriminated against, according to the European Commission. And it was interesting. It was the first time that the Commission had invoked this, it's called this International Procurement Instrument, which is an instrument that was came into force in 2022. So first time it used this instrument basically to launch this investigation into China. This isn't about subsidies, it's about unfair discrimination into public procurement. That was on Wednesday, 2 weeks ago. On the Tuesday, European officials launched a raided the offices of a company called Nuctech, which is based in, has offices in Rotterdam and Warsaw.
And this is a Chinese company we're talking about that they're investigating, but why?
This was also part of a broader anti-subsidy probe. And this was the first time that the commission had launched a raid based on this other, I guess this is a piece of legislation called the Foreign Subsidies Regulation. It was the first time that it had wielded its powers in this way to launch an investigation, or rather to launch a raid like this.
So what has been China's reaction to all these probes from the EU?
It's interesting to look at China's response to this, basically. Mm-hmm. So China has really only opened one investigation. This was in January this year, into brandy. Dumping of brandy onto the Chinese market. European brandy, I should say. If you think about it, I mean, the electric vehicle market, the solar panels market, these are enormous markets worth billions and billions and billions of euros and dollars. Brandy market is, by comparison, significantly smaller. Mm-hmm. China's response to all of these probes is quite restrained.
Why do you think this is the case?
It's open to interpretation why exactly China's response has been quite restrained. You could interpret it as saying, well, China realizes that it's, you know, guilty of subsidizing, you know, electric vehicles and solar panels and so on and so forth. It knows it's in the wrong, and that's why it hasn't opened these investigations. But obviously, the fact is, China, if it wanted to, it could launch investigations of its own. As another analyst put it to me, I think, again, it's part of this broader strategy. China doesn't really want to retaliate to this. It's seeing that Europe is hardening its line a lot. But by retaliating, the danger is obviously that you end up in this sort of escalatory spiral where China launches an investigation, Europe launches an investigation, and so on and so on and so forth. And again, that could prevent it from its broader strategic goal, which is, again, trying to sort of drive this wedge between Europe and America and getting Europe to not follow what America wants.
And it seems like there is so much happening between the EU and China in the last few months. We really didn't know all of this. And that's why this makes Xi's visit to Paris even more interesting. So why Paris and why a meeting with Emmanuel Macron?
It's interesting in particular that Xi is going to France and to Macron. And it's very interesting that he's coming at this particular time. So around about a year ago, it was on a trip back from China that Macron said, and this caused a lot of controversy at the time, he said, we Europeans cannot become American vassals. And he was talking specifically about the situation in Taiwan. And his point was basically, we shouldn't be drawn into a war. You know, if China and America are going to go to war over Taiwan, that's up to them. We shouldn't get involved in that, basically. And he subsequently doubled down. He was asked about it, and he said again, look, we cannot become vassals. And in particular, there was an emphasis on becoming vassals of the United States. What was interesting is that 2 weeks ago, Macron used that expression again. He used the exact same expression, vassals. We cannot become American vassals.
Okay, but she is meeting both Emmanuel Macron and Ursula von der Leyen. Do you see a division on the stance these two have when it comes to China?
Macron, it's fair to say, and I think people widely understand this, is much more sympathetic towards China than von der Leyen is. In fact, it was von der Leyen who announced this broader de-risking strategy in April last year.
This is why, after de-risking through diplomacy, the second strand of our future China strategy must be economic de-risking. The starting point for this is having a clear-eyed picture on what the risks are,
has repeatedly said the Commission's president, Ursula von der Leyen.
So there's a lot really going on here.
Right, but if we were to go to the core of this meeting, what is it really about?
What it's really about is it's an attempt to as one analyst said to me, drive a wedge between Europe and America, mm-hmm. and basically try to make sure that what's been happening recently with all these probes against China, that that's not going to sort of impact the longer term China-EU relationship. China wants Europe to kind of look eastwards towards Beijing rather than westwards towards Washington.
So then would you say that this meeting is an opportunity to smoothen things out?
I would say, yeah, partly it's to smoothen things out in France in particular, and to put pressure on Macron a little bit to pressure the commission to maybe soften its line on China. I think that's the goal. They see that Macron is... has spoken openly about the fear of becoming an American vassal. He said that openly. He also said, it's a little bit of a weird negotiating strategy when you think about it. Macron said in his Sorbonne speech that Europe is mortal and, you know, could die. It's a bit of a weird thing to say, really, when you think about it from a negotiating strategy. You know, he's saying, we're weak, you know.
But maybe Ursula von der Leyen will be in this meeting to show that the EU isn't that mortal and is still strong.
Maybe, yeah, sort of a good cop, bad cop situation. Then again, I mean, a lot of European leaders, they talk a lot about this fear of a Trump presidency. They talk about it all the time. And then that again is just from a negotiating strategy. Not that I'm a master negotiator, but it does seem a bit of a weird negotiating strategy. If, you know, just 10 days or so before Xi visits, you say, we're mortal, you know, we could die. And then there's this constant talk of, you know, the dangers of a Trump presidency. I'm not trying to downplay it, or, you know, the risks of what could happen to the EU-American relationship or what could happen to the world if Trump becomes president. But the fact is, there's this constant talk about it. It does make Europe seem relatively weak.
And he's also going to Hungary and Serbia as well. What's the reason for this?
I think there are probably two reasons why he's going to Hungary. So one is obviously Hungary is often described as a sort of Trojan horse within the EU. It's obviously compared to other member states, it's also quite pro-China. There's a BYD factory. It was the first ever European factory in China. BYD is the world's largest producer of electric vehicles. So that's based in Hungary. So I think there are close bilateral ties, mm-hmm. but then there's also, you know, the idea of, you know, if Hungary is very pro-Chinese, then when push comes to shove, Hungary could maybe not veto council decisions that are aimed at China or viewed as being anti-China, but it could at least delay them a bit, like mm-hmm. with what happened with Russia. At the same time, he's also going to Serbia. China is Serbia's second largest trading partner. They have quite close economic ties. It's also quite interesting. So I just spoke about him trying to kind of smoothen relations with the EU. He's going to...
But he also wants some allies within the EU and Europe then.
He wants allies within the EU as well. Serbia obviously is not in the EU, but he's going to Serbia on the anniversary of the NATO bombing of the Chinese embassy, which... is in 1999 when NATO bombed Belgrade. And this is obviously a, it can be interpreted in European capitals as quite a provocative mm-hmm. move. But I mean, it's quite clear what he's trying to do. He's expressing solidarity and sympathy with Serbia and obviously with the Chinese people Chinese embassy officials who were killed then. But Serbia is a European country, although it's not a member of the EU. And I think what he's really trying to do is to, make countries within the EU be more Chinese and also countries outside the EU become more Chinese, mm-hmm. I suppose. And it's a kind of a two-pronged strategy to get the broader European continent to move more away from America.
Thank you very much, Tom, for joining us on this episode. I am Evi Chiori, and this was Euractiv's Today in the EU podcast. Visit Euractiv to stay on top of the latest news, sign up for our podcast newsletter, and if you haven't subscribed or followed us yet, you can find us on all streaming platforms. Also, make sure to leave a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Your reviews really help us to spread the word about our work. This episode was produced by Nicoletta Ionta and myself. Thank you for tuning in. We will be with you again tomorrow morning. As part of our commitment to accuracy, inclusion, and transparency, Euractiv is part of the Trust Project.